Hare Krishna. It is my hope and prayer you are all surviving our yatra. How many of you have been across the street to where all the children play? I was just there. It's quite incredible. About 500 children are playing together in a nice playground across the street. And all the older children like us who are taking care of the younger children, they're listening to the class as they're playing with the children. And I'm thinking they're probably the only ones who are really awake through my lectures. It's a wonderful service. In our last narration, we were discussing the cleansing of Gundicha temple. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever he would begin, almost everything in the middle, and whatever was concluded was with the chanting of the holy names, Sankirtan. As they were chanting and dancing ecstatically, we described how Advaitacharya, one of his beloved sons, Sri Gopal, fell to the ground unconscious. Lord Chaitanya told Sri Gopal, dance. Sri Gopal just followed Lord Chaitanya's instruction with total inspiration and began to dance, and suddenly appeared to have died in the presence of everyone. He was laying there lifeless. So why Advaitacharya, who is Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupam Takam Bhaktavatara Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. He's one of the Panchatattva. He's the incarnation of the Lord. Karanodakshayi Vishnu Sada Shiva. Why was he crying to see his son in such a pathetic condition? Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. So why is Krishna lamenting over his dead son? Certainly he was not in the bodily concept. Srila Prabhupada explains that great devotees, even if they are detached from everything of this world, which means they're attached to exploiting or enjoying anything separate from the loving service of Krishna. But it's natural, because in this world we have relationships. Yesterday, we sang the prayer of Narottam Das Thakur Jaya Nilo Premadana. He's beating his head against the rock, feeling such pangs of separation from Srinivasa Acharya. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami. In fact, it is said that he wrote this song soon after the disappearance of Srinivasa Acharya and his disciple, who was Narottam Das Thakur's very dear friend, Ramchandra Kaviraj. Hearing the news of their disappearance, Narottam Das Thakur went into secluded places, to the forests, to the riversides, and wept in separation. Similarly, Subhadra was an expansion of Sri Radharani, the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, when her son Abhimanyu was killed in Kurukshetra. She wept, as did Yudhisthira, as did Arjuna after he already heard Bhagavad Gita. Because when someone dear to us, especially great souls, Sri Gopal was a great soul. He was dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When it appeared that his body was gone, they were feeling separation from the presence of that soul. And the medium by which they can have loving exchanges was very much through the body. So devotees cry when another devotee leaves, but they're not crying just in lamentation that that person is dead and gone. It's a celebration. That person has gone back to the spiritual world or has been elevated closer to Krishna. But still, the medium by which we could exchange so many relationships with that eternal soul was through their body. So we're actually crying in love for the soul, not just in loss of a body. There's crying in transcendental knowledge and there's crying in ignorance. On the path of bhakti, we cultivate tears in knowledge, in tears of gratitude, tears of joy in meeting, tears of separation. So Advaita was crying, and all the devotees, there was a couple hundred of them, and we were all gathered around Advaitacharya, whose son was laying in his lap. They were all crying, loudly chanting the names of Narasimha Dev. The child was lifeless. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus hand over the heart of Sri Gopal and said, "Sri Gopal, rise." And Gopal came to consciousness to dance. It's a beautiful story, but it also has an analogy. Because each and every one of us, aham bija pratapita, we're all the children of Krishna. He's the father, the mother of every living being. We're all dear to Krishna. Krishna, who is within our heart and simultaneously in the heart of every living being, and simultaneously Bhagavan in his own abode. He loves every jiva with infinitely more intimacy than any mother or father could love their child in this world. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes cite the common saying, God is great. What does that mean? The greatness of God's love. Every little insect, every little fish in the sea, every animal, every bird in the sky, and every type of human being, and the devatas above us. Krishna has more personal love and concern for every living being than any mother or father could have. Because whatever love a mother, a father, a friend, or a lover may have in this world, it is all infinitesimal part and parcel reflection of Krishna's love in every relationship. That is Krishna. So somehow or other, Jeev Jago, when we forget our relationship with Krishna, spiritually, we are dead. We're unconscious. We've forgotten who we truly are. But when the Vaishnavas, like Advaita and all the devotees, when they take compassion on us, when they feel for us, pray for us, cry to the Lord to show mercy upon us, then Krishna, who is within our hearts, awakens our bhakti, awakens our true life. And then we too can chant the holy names and dance. There are many stories in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes here in Puri. It's the very basis of the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna loves his devotees. His devotees love Krishna. And when we somehow or other can get the mercy of the devotees upon us, then only does Krishna shower his mercy upon us. So in our Sankirtan movement, we are very much depending on the blessings of each other. The more Vaishnavas depend on blessings, the more they become transcendentally situated in spiritual consciousness. The next day, Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates, they got up very early in the darkness of the morning. They took their bats in the sea and rushed to Lord Jagannath's temple. Because on this day, the Ratha Yatra would be celebrated. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how Lord Chaitanya celebrated Ratha Yatra in beautiful detail. It began where King Prataparudra, who's actually in charge of overseeing everything in Puri, he's the king. He arranged for Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates to be in a very, very perfect place to watch the Pandu Vijaya, where the Dayatas would carry Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra from their throne to their chariots. There were thick, large silken ropes that would be wrapped around Jagannath's body. And the Dayatas, Dayata means one who has received the mercy. We heard from His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj how previously Jagannath was worshipped as Nilamadava by these Shabaras, who were simple farmers of pigs. They were living in the jungles, but they worshipped the Lord with pure devotion. And the Lord for generations accepted that devotion. During the day from them and during the nights, the demigods would come to do the puja. Krishna is not concerned with any external qualifications. Krishna's Saragrahi Janardana. He's only seeking the essence of the sincerity of a devotee's love. That's all. So the Dayatas, who are descendants of those persons, and the Dayatapatis, who are Brahmins, they have received the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains, after the Snan Yatra, for approximately 15 days, Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, they performed the Leela of having a fever. Just to invoke the feelings of service, servitude from his servants. And the Dayatapatis, they give Krishna different medicinal infusions in the form of different fruit juices and herbs. Actually, some years ago, we were here at Ratha Yatra, and we danced and we chanted from the beginning to the end, from Jagannath Mandir to Gundicha Temple. They didn't even make it to the end at night. They stopped the procession at sunset, and the chariots just stopped there, and Jagannath just took rest on his chariot that night. Then after sunrise the next morning, they continue. So it went on for about 8 hours, and it was pouring rain for almost the whole procession. Devotees were singing, dancing. Then the next morning, we all got up to chant japa, and we were sitting around the chariot. It was storming rain, and some devotees had little umbrellas. Some just found some pieces of plastic on the street and put it on top of their heads. And everyone was chanting, hundreds and hundreds of devotees. And I remember the pandas, they were so happy to see the devotees for about 3-4 hours chanting japa in the pouring rain, sitting on the street. They said, that in appreciation for the ISKCON devotees, we will give them one full rope of Jagannath's chariot to exclusively pull by them. Of course, the next day there wasn't as many people as the first day. But one thing I remember is I had high fever. Very, very high fever. And I had bronchitis, and I don't know what else, but I was extremely sick. And so many doctors, because we have our Bhaktivedanta hospital, we can't escape doctors. They were all coming with all sorts of ideas. And then our dear, esteemed friend, Ram Kumar, who's one of the Dayatapatis, he's actually taking care of Jagannath when he has a fever. So he gave me the Mahaprasad of the medicine that Jagannath took for his fever. It was about this big. And I don't know what it was, but it was incredibly delicious. With some sort of herbs. And he told me, take little at a time, and my fever went away. I remember we had a doctor who didn't believe Jagannath actually had a fever. So Ram Kumar said, come and touch him. He touched him, and this is a true story. The doctor got his hand burnt. He came running to my room crying like a baby. He said, he really does have a fever. It was early in the morning. I said, who? I was thinking one of our devotees. I said, who? He said, Jagannath. He really does. I tested him. My hand was burnt. So Jagannath could reciprocate with devotees in so many wonderful ways. So after 15 days, the Lord, of being in seclusion with Maha Lakshmi, the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Jagannath comes to take his journey to Gundicha, to Vrindavan Dham. And as the Dayatas were carrying Lord Jagannath, King Prataparudra, with a broom that had a golden handle, was sweeping the street as Jagannath was being carried. And as he was sweeping, he also had a pot of water that was scented with sandalwood. He was sprinkling the sandalwood oil so that everything was very refreshing and fragrant for Lord Jagannath as he swept. Now, sometimes at our Rath Yatras, politicians come and sweep the street. But they usually do it for votes. Paramatma within the heart understands the sincerity of our intentions. Srila Prabhupada writes this. Krishna does not accept the things that we offer. Krishna accepts the sincerity of the intention, the purpose in which it is offered. Because Krishna is seeing from outside in and from inside out. Lord Chaitanya, his heart melted. Previously, as been explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was rejecting seeing the king because he was a materialistic person involved in so much materialistic activities. But he saw that the king, from the very core of his heart, identified himself as the menial servant of the servant of the Lord. Because sweeping is as menial as we could do. Anybody could sweep. You don't need an education. You don't need a high birth. You don't need beauty. You don't even need a strong body. Anybody could sweep. In some people, in some places, people who are considered to be of the lowest order of society are kept to live among themselves. I don't want to go into too many details, but I've been to such places. They call them, in a most condescending way, the sweeper class. King Prataparudra, with great feeling and gratitude, he was sweeping before the Supreme Lord and sweeping before all the devotees. He wanted everyone who was there to understand his true position. I might be a king in my role, but in my heart, I'm simply the menial servant of the servant of the Lord. And Kaviraj Goswami returns to this particular idea again and again in these past times, how Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that the king had such humility. Lord Chaitanya looked up at Jagannath and cried out, Mani Ma, Mani Ma, which is an Odishan way of respecting a great personality. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that Lord Jagannath's chariot looked like Mount Sumeru. Yesterday, our god brother Tribhangananda Prabhu was talking about his initiation, I believe in 1973, at Trafalgar Square in London. And during that initiation, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture there. And the next day, in the newspaper, a London newspaper, it said that the Hare Krishna chariot was rivaling the Nelson column. And Prabhupada really liked that. He actually wrote it in the purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, just like the residents of Puri were comparing the Jagannath chariot to Mount Sumeru, the people of London compare it to the Nelson Column, which is a very famous, it's the most famous statue in London. It's very high. As they pulled the chariot, Jagannath was Krishna. Returning to Vrindavan, he was looking with his lotus-like eyes and saw the sand of Puri as the banks of the Yamuna. And he saw the little gardens of Puri as the forests of Vrindavan. Jagannath's mind was feeling great pleasure. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all of his devotees and personally worshipped each and every one of them. With great feeling, he embraced each devotee, and with his own loving hands, he put garlands on them and anointed their limbs with sandalwood pulp. He divided his devotees into 7 kirtan groups. Each group had a lead singer and a lead dancer. Each kirtan group had 2 mridangas and many, many karatals. The first group, Swarup Damodar Goswami was the lead singer, and Sri Advaita Prabhu was lead dancer. The second group, Srivas Thakur, was singing, and Nityananda Prabhu was the dancer. The next group, Mukunda Dutt, led the kirtan. Haridas Thakur was the lead dancer. And the next group, Govinda Ghosh, was singing, and Vakreshwar Pandit danced. Then the residents of Kulinagram started another group with Ramananda and Satyaraj Khan as the lead dancers. And in Srikanda, they started a group from that village, and that kirtan party, Narahari and Raghunandan were the lead dancers. And from Shantipur, the son of Sri Advaita Achyutananda was dancing. 4 parties were dancing in front of Jagannath's chariot, one on either side, and one in the back. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he danced, the ecstatic symptoms of his love, his great happiness, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. That was his mood. Very mystically, only a few of the most confidential associates could see what he was doing. He expanded himself to be dancing in all 7 of the kirtan parties simultaneously. Each party was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is only with me. A comparison is given when Krishna was dancing in Ras Lila. Each gopi was thinking, Krishna's dancing only with me. In Dwarka, of 16,108 queens, each one was thinking, Krishna's living in the palace only with me. The same Leela was revealed and shared with the devotees in Puri. At other times, Lord Chaitanya would become one form and all the parties would come together to dance and chant and watch the beauty of his dance. King Prataparudra, he was observed by Kashi Mishra and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They were struck with wonder. They could understand the mercy King Prataparudra was receiving. He was able to personally see and understand 2 of the most mystical of all secrets. And he was astonished. Those 2 secrets. 1, He was watching Lord Jagannath, stopping his chariot to see Lord Chaitanya dance. And he understood, he realized that Lord Jagannath was watching himself. And Lord Chaitanya was dancing for himself. And at the same time, they were separate. Krishna, in the mood of Sri Radha, was dancing for Krishna. And he also could see how the Lord was dancing in all seven parties simultaneously. Kaviraj Gotaswami tells very clearly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that mercy to Prataparudra Maharaj because he was so pleased with his menial service of sweeping the street for Lord Jagannath and the devotees. Lord Chaitanya, his Leela Shakti, was arranging all these incredible different manifestations of his pastime, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was totally absorbed. He looked up at Lord Jagannath and offered this simple prayer: Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. And then he offered two other prayers glorifying the mercy, the beauty, and the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And then concluded with one prayer where he's revealing his heart. Naham vibrona cha narapatir napi vaishona shudra. I'm not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. My only identity, my only true aspiration is to be the servant of the servant of the servant, the Anu, the insignificantly small servant of all the servants of the Lord of the Gopis. That was the prayer that Lord Chaitanya established, the foundation of his Sankirtan for the Ratha Yatra, where the most profound ecstasies of love were to be revealed. Sometimes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in order to protect him, Lord Nityananda Prabhu held the hands of his associates to make a circle. Around them, Govinda and Kashishwar made another circle, and around them, King Prataparudra and his ministers and associates made another circle, so that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could dance freely. Because there were millions of people there. This dance of love is something that the world has never witnessed before. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't just cry, but his tears were shooting like syringes. And everyone around him was being bathed by Lord Chaitanya's tears of love. Like the Samuli tree, his hairs were standing on end, like the flowers of a Kadamba tree. Sometimes he would be light like cotton, sometimes he would be heavier than the earth. His beautiful golden complexion would turn to white, to pink. Sometimes his limbs were as hard as dry wood, and sometimes as soft as freshly churned butter. Sometimes from his mouth, jajagaga, these sounds were coming that nobody could understand. He would roll on the ground like a beautiful golden mountain, And at other times he would leap so high into the air that people would look up upon him. And he'd be roaring out the holy names. Swarup Damodar Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, their mind and their senses were identical. As the dearmost devotee of the Lord, Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing exactly in harmony with what was in the heart of Lord Chaitanya to give him pleasure. He sang a particular verse. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burnt by Cupid and withering away. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he entered into the mood of the gopis meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra. This is described in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. After many years of living in separation from Krishna, Kaviraj Goswami tells, when Krishna left Vrindavan, the Brijabasis cried for the rest of their lives, waiting for Krishna to return. After many, many years, they received a message inviting them to meet Krishna in Kurukshetra. This is before the great battle. Kurukshetra is a holy place. It's been a holy place since time immemorial. A place where yajnas, where spiritual ceremonies are performed to invoke the highest blessings and benedictions. So on the occasion of solar eclipse, it is considered a very holy place to observe these ceremonies. When Krishna met with the gopis in Kurukshetra, the experience is what was enacted by Lord Chaitanya during Ratha Yatra. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Sri Radharani, wanted to make sure that Lord Jagannath was remembering him. So sometimes during the kirtan, he would go behind Jagannath's chariot, and Jagannath would stop. Even though everyone was pulling, pulling, and pulling, nobody could make him move until Lord Chaitanya came into the front, and Jagannath would follow him. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Sri Radha, spoke to Lord Jagannath that I am the same Radharani and you are the same Krishna. And we are meeting in the same way we used to meet. But I am not happy here. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. And I'm feeling the same fragrance of the Kadamba groves. But I want to take you back to the river Yamuna's banks in the forest of Vrindavan, because my mind is Vrindavan. It is said that the mind and the heart is one, but my mind is one with Vrindavan. I can never be happy until you return home once again to Vrindavan. Here, there are crowds of people, mighty elephants, horses, and chariots. So much noise and sound. But in Vrindavan, there's only the sweet humming of the bees, the chirping of the birds in the forest. Here, you are dressed like a royal prince, surrounded by mighty soldiers. But I wish to bring you back to Vrindavan, where you're dressed like a simple cowherd boy, accompanied by your flute. There is not even a single drop of happiness here in Kurukshetra compared to the limitless ocean of happiness of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya continued that in his words to Lord Jagannath, that after you left for Vrindavan, for Mathura, you sent Uddhav to teach us Jnana Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. Asking gopis to meditate. How could you do this? Why are you trying to kill us with this instruction to meditate on you? We're trying to forget you. We're trying to engage in materialistic activities, but we cannot forget you. You're telling us to meditate? We're drowning in an ocean of separation from you, swallowed by the Timingala fish of our ambition to serve you. Only if you come back to Vrindavan can we be satisfied. Have you forgotten your father, your mother, your friends? Have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the banks of the Yamuna, and the wonderful forest that you performed your rasa dance? The Brijabasis, the residents of Vrindavan, they have given their hearts, their lives to you. Are you trying to kill them by staying away? Or will you save their lives by coming home? Sri Radharani, she spoke to Krishna through Lord Chaitanya, speaking to Jagannath, that I do not care for my own unhappiness, but seeing the moroseness on the face of your mother Yashoda and seeing the suffering of all the Brijabasis, it's unbearable. Why, Krishna, are you doing this to us? You are the only opulence of Vrindavan, and especially to Nanda Maharaj and all the inhabitants. Do you want us to die? Or will you come home and give us life? Then Krishna told Sri Radharani in Kurukshetra that I cry throughout every day and every night in separation from all of you. The residents of Vrindavan are my very life and soul. He actually explained it in this way. The residents of Vrindavan are my life and soul. And the gopis are my very life and soul. And you, Sri Radharani, are the very life of my life and soul. And I know that you cannot live without me. Therefore, every day I worship Lord Narayan. And secretly, by the mercy of Lord Narayan, I come to Vrindavan to enjoy pastimes with all of you. And you could feel my presence. He said, in 10 or 20 days, I will return. But there are still 2 or 4 more demons I must kill. The only reason I'm living in Dwarka is so that the demons will not attack Vrindavan. I'm just as a formality living with the queens and all of the royalties of the Yadu dynasty. But my heart is forever in Vrindavan with you. This was the mood of Lord Chaitanya in Ratha Yatra. The deepest, most esoteric, and profound of all the conclusions of all the scriptures was revealed by Lord Chaitanya in the Ratha Yatra. The ecstasy of the love of separation of Sri Radha and the Brijavasis for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, Radha Bhavaduti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He's Krishna who's come to taste the sweetness of Radha's love, but also to give that love to the most fallen souls of this age of Kali Yuga. Rupa Goswami's prayer, we all know it. But the depth of the meaning of this prayer is inconceivable. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurudveshe Namah. Just as Swarup Damodar Goswami understood the heart of Lord Chaitanya perfectly, Rupa Goswami also understood the heart of Lord Chaitanya perfectly. And he revealed it to the world. Here in Puri, at the Siddha Bakula, when Lord Chaitanya was in speaking to his devotees about Rupa Goswami, he said, I met him at Prayag, and seeing his humility, his devotion, I embraced him and invested my love in his heart. The followers of Lord Chaitanya are Rupa Nukas. This beautiful prayer, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Godadvishe Namaha, declares Lord Chaitanya as the most magnanimous, munificent, and merciful of all incarnations, even more merciful than Krishna. How can Krishna be more merciful than Krishna? If Krishna wants to be more merciful than Krishna, Krishna is Swarat, he's independent, he can do everything, anything. Krishna exchanged the Madhurya Ras, the loving pastimes with gopis and Sri Radha in the forests of Vrindavan. But only a small group of the most purified saints and sages from Dandakaranya, personified Vedas, could actually enter into that Leela. Along with the Nitya Siddhas. But Lord Chaitanya comes in the age of Kali. Bhagavatam says, the people of this age of Kali are most unfortunate. Very uncontrolled senses, uncontrolled minds, unclean. So many distractions. In Satya Yuga, if you wanted to attain liberation, love for Krishna, 60,000 years of meditation. And that type of meditation, your mind would not waver for a moment from your object of meditation, Vishnu in your heart. How many of us, for 60 minutes, 60 days, 60 years, 60,000 years, meditating on Vishnu in our heart with no distraction? But anyone who was sincere had the capacity to do that. Kriteya dhyayato Vishnu. But in Kali Yuga, which is an ocean of faults, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and here in Jagannath Puri, in a public place, Ratha Yatra, amidst millions of people, he's revealing the most intimate, loving moods of the rasa between Krishna and Sri Radharani in Vrindavan. And through his devotees, he's sharing this with the world. Our acharyas teach us very clearly, we cannot imitate these things. The way to approach these divine leelas, Lord Chaitanya taught, through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya taught us how to chant. Trinada Bisu Nichena. We have to be humble, forgiving, tolerant. And we have to be in the mood of the servant of the servant. This is what Mahaprabhu is giving us. This is Jagannath Puri Dham. We come to this holy of all holy places, feeling ourselves very fallen, crying out the holy names, crying out for service to Krishna and the devotees, so that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mercy will be upon us. Kaviraj Goswami declares that everyone in that parade could clearly see Lord Chaitanya dancing. The residents of Puri, the pilgrims, the shopkeepers, everyone. And whoever saw Lord Chaitanya's loving dance were blessed with the highest perfection of ecstatic love for Krishna. That is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was freely giving his mercy. Then, The parade came to the Bala Gandhi, where Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra's chariots stop. And anyone and everyone could come and offer bhoga. King Prataparudra, various Brahmins, various people, they brought hundreds and thousands of preparations, placed them all around the chariots to offer them. At that time, Lord Chaitanya and his associates went to a garden just close to Gundicha Temple to rest. By this time, throughout the entire day, they were continuously chanting and dancing in great joy. Lord Chaitanya laid on a raised platform to rest. It was at that time that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, and the other devotees, they put King Prataparudra in the dress of a simple Vaishnav. And they told him, go in and massage Lord Chaitanya's legs and chant the Gopi Gita. King Prataparudra had such faith in the Vaishnavas. Previously, during the chanting and the parade, Lord Chaitanya actually fell back into the arms of King Prataparudra. But as soon as he came to external consciousness, he curled his lips in distaste and said, I am condemned. I have been touched by a materialistic person. The king was devastated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him, actually, Lord Chaitanya is very pleased with you. But he's saying this because he's giving an example to others. So after that, really, King Prataparudra had to have great faith in the Vaishnavas to go back to massage Lord Chaitanya's legs. First, the king took the blessings and the dust of the feet of all the devotees. Then he went in. He offered his dandavat pranams to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was laying on the platform in ecstatic love, and massaged his lotus feet. According to the instructions of Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he began to sing the prayers, Jayati Te Dikam. Lord Chaitanya, in great, great love, was absorbed in hearing. And when he came to that prayer, Tapakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam, describing the glories of those who chant the names and the glories of the Lord. The pastimes, the names, the glories of Krishna are like nectar. They can purify all the sins and darkness of the heart and awaken ecstatic love for Krishna. And those who broadcast the glories of the Lord are Burida. They are the most munificent. When Lord Chaitanya heard this verse, he cried out, you are most munificent, you are most munificent, Burida, Burida. He sat up and embraced King Prataparudra, not knowing who he was externally. He embraced him again and again and again. He said to the king, you are giving me so much nectar. There is nothing I can ever to do to repay you. You are giving me my life. You are drowning me in nectar. Lord Chaitanya was literally bathing him with tears of affection. Then he said, "Who are you?" You cannot tell a lie to the absolute truth. If King Prataparudra were to say, "Actually, I'm King Prataparudra," that would have been impossible. But at the same time, he couldn't tell him he's not. That's where we find the very heart of this Leela revealed. King Prataparudra responded to Lord Chaitanya by speaking the deepest, most honest truth of his heart. He said, "I am the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. And my only ambition in life is to be the servant of the servant of your servants." In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains this is the heart of bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada tells that Prahlad Maharaj went through so much difficulty when Lord Narasingadev offered any benediction to Prahlad. Prahlad only asked for one thing, according to this purport: to be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. And when Dhruva Maharaj was offered by Kuvera any benediction, the treasurer of the Devatas, Dhruva prayed to be the servant of the servant of the Lord's servants. Kolavecha Sridhar, he lived in what we would consider desperate poverty materially. His clothes were rags. His house was a single tiny room in a thatched hut that leaked. His body was emaciated from no food. And nobody understood who he was except for a few of the greatest devotees. He was offered wealth, kingdoms, mystic cities, elevation to the spiritual world. Kolavecha Sridhar refused every benediction. Lord Chaitanya said, "I want to give you something." Lord Sridhar said, "Please be, I don't want anything from you, Lord. Please be peaceful. I only want to make you happy." Lord Chaitanya said, "If you want to make me happy, ask for something." To be the servant of the servant of the servant. The conclusion, Srila Prabhupada explained, the highest benediction that we could strive for or pray for is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with King Prataparudra. He secretly revealed his divine opulences to him and told him, "Please do not disclose what you have seen to anyone." And throughout this whole entire pastime, Lord Chaitanya never revealed that he knew who he was. King Prataparudra was blessed with the ecstasy of the love of Vrindavan. But the most instructive part of the story is what's coming next. Are you awake? Much louder, please. Thank you. King Prataparudra, who was soaked with the tears, the nectar of the tears of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha's tears of love for Krishna. He bowed down and came out of the garden where the devotees were waiting for him. He understood that everything was by the mercy of those devotees. With such humble gratitude, he took the dust of the feet and bowed down to every devotee. The devotees were overwhelmed with joy to see the mercy that Prataparudra Maharaj received. And here Srila Prabhupada explains, they had no envy. In this material world, the force of envy is so powerful. People cannot tolerate others having anything that they may want. And Srila Prabhupada explains, even in spiritual life, we're coming to renounce the false ego, but we could so easily become envious of other devotees. It is clearly declared the meaning of a Vaishnava is to have no envy. Please chant Hari Bol very loudly if you feel yourself to be a Vaishnava. Very happy you have no envy. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did not take anyone serious who called themselves a Vaishnava. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Lord Chaitanya himself took seriously a person who considered themselves Vaishnava Das, the servant of the Vaishnavas. If we truly want to please Krishna, we will find happiness when we see others getting his mercy. We will feel happy when we see others prospering spiritually. If somebody's being empowered by Krishna, if that person gets proud, they're not really very dear to Krishna. But if little you or me, if we're happy to see that person being empowered, we're more dear to Krishna than they are. Does that make sense? Krishna's not just pleased by what we can accomplish. He's pleased when we are truly a well-wisher of others. When we take joy to see another devotee's success, take joy to see another devotee's happiness, take joy to see another devotee's empowerment, we become intimately dear to Krishna by that happiness. But if we have envy, then we should know that that envy is what disconnects us. But I don't want to leave you all hopeless. because sometimes we are envious. But we should recognize envy as an enemy, not a friend. We should not act according to the dictations of our envy. We should do just the opposite. If we're feeling envious of someone, we should serve that person. Now, someone may say that's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy if we're doing it to get something material as a result. If I'm feeling envious, if I'm feeling miserable about a person's success, but I say, oh, you are so nice, and our motivation is we're going to get something even greater materially. I'll get fame, I'll get fortune. People will think I'm not envious, and they'll touch my feet. If that's our motivation, then we're hypocritical. But if we're humble, that this envy is a disease, I'm praying, Krishna, please save me from this envy. I'm like Gajendra, helplessly in the jaws of the crocodile of envy. Please, Krishna, save me. Save me. And how do we cry out to Krishna to save me? By chanting his holy name. And we serve that Vaishnav, and we glorify that Vaishnav to purify ourselves of that envy. It's like a medicine. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in, when he returned to Navadvip, in Koladvip, and he met one Brahmin there, the Brahmin said that when you were here in Navadvip,
I was so envious of your devotees. I was constantly blaspheming your devotees.
But after you left to take sannyas, I woke up to realize how sinful I am. Now I'm surrendering to you. Please, what can I do to be forgiven? Lord Chaitanya said that when you criticize others, you're drinking poison. When you glorify the great souls, when you glorify the Vaishnavas, when you speak as a well-wisher to others, you are drinking nectar. So stop criticizing and speak the glories of the Vaishnavas and chant the holy names. That is the medicine. Time and again in the Leelas of the Lord, the devotees feel so much concern for each other. What a beautiful Vaishnav community we will have when we celebrate the good fortune of each other. And we're there with genuine care and compassion to help each other in our misfortune. That is Gaudiya Vaishnav society. So the devotees, none of them were thinking, why didn't Lord Chaitanya bathe me with his tears? Why didn't he embrace me time and time again and say, I'm the most munificent? That's not the way a Vaishnav thinks.
Bitte sehr.
Please, Krishna. That's how our love of Krishna awakens. So here in this Ratha Yatra, we're speaking very neophyte, just repeating the words, that's who I am. We're speaking about Sri Radharani's most intimate dialogue with Lord Krishna, bringing him, begging him to come back to Vrindavan. And that's what the Ratha Yatra parade is. Srila Prabhupada explained it so simply. That in the hearts of the gopis, because Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't tell that Krishna went to Vrindavan then. In the hearts of the gopas and the gopis, they brought Krishna, Balaram, and Supadramai. In the chariots of their hearts, they brought him back to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada told in San Francisco to a large crowd of Americans, he said, this Ratha Yatra is bringing Krishna back into our hearts, back into the Vrindavan of our hearts. That is the meditation. So the most mystical, esoteric, deep message. And here it concludes. The Ratha Yatra's conclusion is how we have to be free of envy. We have to be well-wishers to each other. We have to genuinely feel ourselves servant of the servant of the servant. And in this mood, we have to learn to constantly chant the holy names. Then our heart becomes Vrindavan. Krishna reveals himself to us. And in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's path, as we make spiritual progress, we want to share that good fortune among the other devotees. And as a community, we want to share it with all living beings throughout every town, every village, in all the world.
RG Media YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe.